With powerful AI tools now available to everyone, what does that mean for educators? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. Teachers are a creative bunch. They have to be in order to come up with lesson plans and exams that help students grow their minds and prevent those same students from relying too much on technology to enhance their work or to cheat. Which is why the rollout of OpenAI's ChatGPT has many teachers worried. The chatbot can answer almost any type of question, even if the answers aren't always accurate. Daniel Herman is an English teacher at Maybeck High School in Berkeley, California. He posed some of the essay prompts from his class to the chatbot and wrote about it for The Atlantic magazine.
So every year I teach two sections of junior English, and I gave it the first essay prompt that I usually give them in September, and immediately this text, as I think we've all become familiar with, this text started just being written on the screen in front of me, and my heart just started pounding in my chest. And from there, I thought of finding an essay question from last year's AP literature exam, and it went from there. And time after time, the responses that it gave were pretty impressive.
How different is this technology from just another tool in the toolkit to kind of do some of these tasks that we used to train ourselves to write, even something like penmanship?
So what I very often ask my students to do is we do lots of writing in class, and then there's a moment where I ask students to take the writing that they've done in class and turn it into a more polished piece of writing. And that, for many students, is where they really struggle. And I'm really interested in exploring creative ways that ChatGPT and whatever comes after it can be a dialogic conversation between a student who maybe is going to find certain things in a process easy and other things really struggle with. And are there the ways that this technology can facilitate their learning rather than just undermine or replace it?
When it comes down to it, what does this technology just being out there mean for students, good and bad?
Yeah, so this is where my head really started to spin when I was first playing with it. And I'll be completely honest about this. You know, I work at a small independent school in the Bay Area. My class sizes are between 12 and 15 students. We write in spiral notebooks. We read our writing aloud together. But my experience in the classroom is, to say the very least, is not the experience of your average high school teacher. And if, you know, having met many of those people over the years in conferences and workshops and things, if I imagine the average high school teacher who has five classes a day, 40 students in each class, and they're running up against all of these standards and systems, they're teaching to the test, it's the Common Core. They have three other colleagues who they have to be in lockstep to make sure that standards are consistent. There's very little that they have time for aside from, you know, preparing students in the ways that they know that these students need to be prepared. I honestly don't know what's going to happen, and I don't know how fast this is going to go, but it seems to me, and just to pick AP exams are really a particularly easy one. It doesn't seem to me that AP exams, those are immediately rendered irrelevant. That sort of the ability to memorize information and then present it in this way has been a really valued skill. And I don't know whether there's a reason to continue valuing it in the same way that a college admissions essay is valuing some sort of narrative writing. And this is what I mean when I say, I don't know what we're specifically talking about when we say writing, quote unquote, is essential. I don't think we mean writing poetry. I don't think we mean writing fiction. There's some sort of communication that everybody is assuming cannot be dispensed with. But I'm wondering if that's whether we're blinded by the world that we've created, which is so based upon writing as this form of technology.
Do you think, to deal with sort of the academic dishonesty slice of this. Will teachers have to return to sort of having students with notebooks in the class writing their essays freehand?
I have to assume that that's where a lot of people are going to go. And it makes me think about the invention of the calculator. And I have to assume that when the calculator was invented, many, many, many teachers just said, oh, well, now we'll have to just watch them all the time to make sure that they are not using calculators. I think everybody would agree, well, that's just silly. It's not valuable to multiply 987 times 987 in your head. And the next question I have to ask is, what exactly are we trying to measure? If it's a student's ability to think, okay, well, there are other ways to do that. We would never say that writing is the only way to have good ideas. One can have good ideas by taking a walk in the forest or doodling, but that's not something that we value in a classroom. And maybe we should ask, why not?
Have you heard from any of your students yet, or heard about any of your students yet, trying to use this technology in assignments?
Yes. Yes, they are very they're very curious what this is going to mean for them. And immediately my wheels have just been spinning nonstop about what this means for the spring semester. And depending on the class, it's going to mean very, very different things. The centerpiece of the spring semester in this junior English class is this long research paper where every student chooses two books of their own, choose two great works of literature, and they put those two books in conversation with each other. And so again, what I wrote into ChatGPT, I just started throwing pairs of books together, and it gave him a little nudge. So now my students are wondering, you know, they have their two books chosen, and they're wondering what's allowed. And I'm not exactly sure what to tell them yet. At the same time, I'm really excited to start thinking about what versions of this paper might be that are, number one, way weirder, and number two, way more personal, because there's always been this dissonance in my mind between the kind of writing that I feel is most beneficial. And there's so much research that shows people who do expressive metacognitive writing about themselves. For example, if I asked a student to write about your habits and habits that you think are beneficial, habits that you'd like to get rid of, and then if I asked them to write, what's your ideal version of yourself, or who is the ideal student that you could be? There's study after study that shows that that is really beneficial to helping that student become the ideal version of who they want to be. And then there's this other kind of writing that I've always said they, quote unquote, have to be able to do, with topic sentence, evidence, MLA citation. I mean, you know, so many students get so fixated on MLA citations because it's one place in an English class that there's a right way to do it. And same thing with, as you're saying, grammar and spelling, all these things that have just been something that you need to know how to do. And spelling is a good example. You know, spelling wasn't standardized until somebody invented the dictionary. And if there's a way to just take your piece of text, put it into the ChatGPT, and it'll just clean up all those mistakes that it was going to take you a long time to laboriously go through step by step, if we can get rid of all that part and keep the forms of writing that help students enjoy their lives more and become better human beings, that seems to me an unqualified positive.
Daniel Herman is an English teacher at Maybeck High School in Berkeley, California. Jesus Alvarado produced this episode. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.